Hey, what's going on? It's Bill Byrne. It's the Monday Morning Podcast for Monday, October 27th, 2014. How the fuck you doing? I'm actually recording this thing late. I'm recording it late, and then I got to go to work. Oh, Billy day job. Oh, Billy burning in at both ends. You know? Something's got to give. Why does it always have to be us? Why do you put your work first? I don't know what the fuck that was. I am sitting here, as you can tell, by the echo. Maybe you can't hear it, but I can hear it. I'm sitting in my living room because I'm doing this Monday morning, 8:30 my time. So this is still a Monday morning podcast where I'm from, despite all you selfish douchebags around the globe, around the planet, you know? And people do that thing. On this beautiful blue sphere that we call Mother Earth, that's when you know when somebody's going to lie to you. They start shaking their head when they're giving the speech. I want to thank everybody for gathering here today. Well, I got to tell you that, you know, what we got coming off. And they start shaking their fucking head, you know, trying to charisma their way through fucking stealing all the tax dollars. Anyways. I didn't do shit this weekend. I didn't do any stand-up. Did I? No. I didn't. I just fucking stayed in, trying to catch up on my goddamn sleep here. But I've been doing stand-up during the week, and I got a big stand-up gig coming up. I'm doing the 20th annual Comics Come Home benefit for the Cam Neely House, put together by Dennis Leary and the always adorable Jimmy Serpico. Always adorable. I challenge you to find a picture of Jim Serpico where he doesn't look absolutely adorable. That is an adorable middle-aged man. I got that coming up, so I got to make sure I'm on my game because I'm going to be following a bunch of monsters. I think I'm going on last, you know? And that is the deal on those things. You don't headline one of those. You go on last because you're going on after all headliners. So there's not a lot of meat left on the bone, if you know what I mean. I can't really see myself 10 comics in being able to bring up Ebola and it's still a fresh topic, if you know what I mean, right? That's why I'm doing a bit on the mumps. Yeah, the forgotten one. Dude, I got to be honest with you. I am so fucking sick of all these diseases grandstanding during sports and every fucking place you go. Like, it's all this goddamn, they're marketing diseases now. Because they're trying to get your money for research. Somewhere in there, I know there's a good thought, like they're trying to cure the disease, but there's a lot of Lexuses being bought off of that money. You can't tell me that there isn't. Because I don't give a fuck how much you give a shit about stopping a disease. At some point, you want a nice house and you want a nice car. And if all you do is try to find a cure for that fucking thing, at some point, you're dipping into the aspirin fund, right? Jesus fucking Christ. Combination of this and the fucking getting reprimanded when you watch a football game. No more. Go fuck yourself. I'm not hitting anybody. The fuck off my TV. You fucking dopes. What do you think? There's some wife beater at home who's going to see the commercial and then be like, oh, okay. You're just going to erase 20 years of bad parenting? With some dumb fucking commercial with your black shirts on. It drives me up the fucking wall. You're talking to me like I'm 2 years old. And you're also talking about this major fucking problem. As if it's like, you know, why don't you just fucking hire one of those planes with the banner across it. And just tell society how the fuck they're supposed to behave. I'm sure that'll solve something too. Yeah, you know, it just fucking drives me nuts. The whole fucking thing drives me up the fucking wall. Stand for cancer. And everybody's standing up with the name of somebody that they had. All right. Who doesn't want to stop cancer? Who doesn't give to it? Do you got to interrupt the World Series to remind me that there's people dying of cancer? Sports is supposed to be my safe haven. Maybe Mike Golick was right. I mean, that's my Mike Golick. And that's my Mike Golick. That guy is a stammering jackass. You know you're dumb when you have to constantly bring up the smart school you went to. Fucking dust. I know a lot of you guys are thinking right now. Bill, have you been smoking a lot of cigars lately? Is that what it's for the cough? I have not. All right, old Freckles here actually went, I've gone 8 days without a cigar, and now it's out of my system. I don't crave it right now. I let the humidor dwindle down. Is that the right word? Humidor? I say humidifiers for your voice. Humidors for cigars. And humidity is that thing that people who don't understand weather get mad at when somebody says it's not the heat, it's the humidity. And then they go, oh, that's like saying it's not the bullet, it's the gun. No, it isn't. No, it isn't. If you fucking read up on humidity, you dumb fuck. If you got out of the East Coast or down south and you headed out west and you felt a dry heat versus that ungodly fucking moisture that is in the air when you have humidity, you know, basically what happens is when you have hot air, that's what's known as a low pressure system. And the molecules get larger. It really doesn't. All it is, if there's just really no moisture, you know, like if you live near a fucking desert, it doesn't make a difference how fucking hot it is. There's no fucking moisture to extrapolate, you know, and bring into that fucking air is essentially what's going on. Okay, that's why it's awesome to fucking live out here. Now, I don't understand. We live near a fucking ocean. I don't understand how some of that water doesn't get in the air, but God knows it doesn't. It does not. We live right near the Mojave Desert. I don't know what it is. No Santa Ana winds comes down through the fucking canyon. I think it just dries everything the fuck out like a giant hairdryer. So when you're out here and it's 90 degrees, I mean, it feels more like when you walk to your car that God has a microscope, not a microscope, a fucking magnifying glass right on the top of your skull, right? As opposed to when you're back east. So it's like one part of your body's just like, oh my God, I got to get in a fucking car. As opposed to when you're back east, where you're just walking out with your arms to the, you know, straight out, like you got some, like you're nailed to some invisible cross, just walking down the street, like, you just can't escape it. You take a shower, and 2 seconds later, you're all fucking soaking wet again. Bill, we understand it. All right, I didn't even explain it well, but I'm a moron. Anyways, incoming. You hear that? Jesus Christ, that fucking plane is close. These fucking people out here are lunatics. The way they fly. There's fucking people in helicopters and airplanes. They fly like 800 feet above the fucking ground. It's just like, where are you going to put that thing? If you, God forbid you had a fucking engine failure. Huh? You going to try and land here with all the fucking wires? All right. I'm all over the place. I need to focus here. Anyways, I had another big sit down with my contractors and all that type of shit. We're finally on our way here. We're on our way. We're finally getting to the final, I'd say 20% of the job. That's how fucked up my downstairs was, slash all the other bullshit that happens when you're building something. You know what kills me is right up the street, some lady bought a house and gutted the whole fucking thing, and she has workers over there 7 days a goddamn week. However, I know what they're doing over there. They're flipping a fucking house. I'm not flipping a house. I'm having 100% quality. You should see the fucking plumbing I got in down there. All copper piping. Ah, it's just fine. It's gorgeous. It's almost a fucking shame that they're going to close up the walls. That's how fucking beautiful the work is that's been done downstairs. And this house used to basically be a house on top and a tree fort down below. It is now an absolute fucking fortress. And someday when I go to sell this thing, I can look the person in the eye that I'm going to sell this to, as opposed to the fucking, I don't even know. I honestly think the people who lived here before are just, I don't think people even understand some of them. Some of them are actually out to fuck you over. Okay. Like whoever put that fucking tarp in downstairs to hold back 4 feet of dirt. Or, I mean, 4 feet high level of fucking dirt. Or maybe 3 feet. I don't fucking know. All I know now is I got a concrete barrier going all the way around like I'm supposed to. Everything's up to code. I had a master electrician come in, rewire the whole fucking place.
I got copper piping going through all the guy. We chased the pipe all the way up as far as we could go. You know, there's a few galvanized pipes, sections of it here or there, but generally speaking, you know, this house is going to be, it's going to be rock solid. And I was actually so fucking depressed with how long that this shit has been taking that, last night I actually went on the internet and I was looking at other houses, like, fuck this, I'm out, you know? You know, like when you're in a relationship with someone that you just love, okay, so you can't break up with them, but every once in a while you just start thinking, you know, what if I just went out and I bought a fucking Corvette, you know, and I just got a scarf or some shit and just started driving around and just lived for me. I started doing that with my house last night, and I just looked at all the other houses, and it's just like, I can see it. I can see it in all the houses I like. I like old houses, and every one of them now, I don't see the beautiful house with all the character anymore. You know what I see? I see wood rot. I see cloth wiring. I see galvanized pipe. I see a gas leak. You know, that's all I see. I see a fucking new roof. I see flashing that wasn't put in properly. I see all of that. That's all I see now. That's all I see. I see the cracks, you know, on the walls. Knowing that, you know, I see windows that aren't going to close fucking properly. That's what I would do now when I walked in to a house. If I looked at a house now, I would start opening and closing windows. I'd check the water pressure. I'd go under the house, you know, smell for gas and all of that type of shit. And you know something? As much as I did all of that, I'd still get fucked because you can't stick your head in a wall and you have no idea what the fuck's in there. You got no idea. You've got no fucking idea how many times over the course of the life of that house, some fucking varmint or some goddamn rodent got into the fucking wall, chewed on what, left a bunch of fucking shit pellets. I'm telling you. It's horrific. The only thing you can do is maybe buy a brand new house, a house that was just bought, in case you don't know what brand new means. And then even then, I don't know, something's going to fucking happen. You know? I don't know. I'm soured on the whole fucking thing. And I put my goddamn life savings into downstairs. And I don't think I'm ever leaving. That's it. I'm fucking done. All I need is a friend with a pool. And I'm good. It's fucking dust. They're putting the floors in downstairs. Which is fucking exciting and dusty. All at the same time. So anyways, this is the Monday Morning Podcast. My name is William Burr. Being very official this week. And yeah, I didn't do shit this week. For those of you who were on the internet this week and you might have saw, we finally announced the show that I've been telling you that I've been writing on. I actually sold an animated show to Netflix, a cartoon, as I like to call them. Everybody calls it, it's an animated show. It's animation. It's a cartoon. I sold a cartoon to Netflix. They greenlit 6 episodes. So this is a real thing. This is coming out. It's coming out. The name of the show is called F is for Family, and it's about a family in 1974. All right? It's basically I'm animating my childhood stories, the people that I kind of grew up with. Nobody's in particular, just sort of the way shit was back then. And I'm working with a bunch of great people who all kind of grew up in that era too. We all kind of had the same moms and dads and friends and neighbors and all that type of shit. So it's not going to lie to you. It's the most work I've ever done in this business, but also it has been the most fun of anything that I've ever done. And I can't wait for you guys to see it. Unfortunately, because it is animation, it's not going to be out until a year from December, which coincidentally enough, I think is when they're going to finish the bottom of my house. So it's all going to come together for me next year in 2015, December. Here comes Santa Claus, here comes Santa Claus, right down Santa Claus Lane. Billy's basement is fucking finished and he's got a show. Please fucking watch it, please fucking watch it so I make money. Doop, boop, doop, boop, doop, boop, boop, and then I'll have to buy a roof. All right, so that's coming out, yeah. A year from this December is when it's coming out. I don't know why they announce it as soon as they do. But we got a great cast. We got Laura Dern's going to play my wife. Justin Long is playing my son. David Koechner is playing my boss. And they're all absolutely fucking hilarious. And we got a bunch of other people doing voices on there. And like I said, it's the most fun I've other than doing stand-up, it's the most fun I've had. I can't wait for you guys to see it because I think it's going to be pretty fucking... It's pretty over the top, put it that way. And I know what you're thinking. Well, Bill, how did you come up with an idea like that? Well, you know what? I used to tell my childhood stories on stage, and only twisted people would laugh, and the rest of the crowd would be like, "Oh, that's sad." So I was walking my dog one day trying to think, how the fuck can I do these things where people will, you know, fucking loosen up a little bit? I was like, all right, I'll animate it. I'll do a cartoon. Those aren't real people. They have three fucking fingers on each hand. And then nobody can get mad. Nobody can get offended. And that's been the most fun about doing this. As we've been writing this thing, at no point have I got one network note saying, well, what is it? What are we promoting? Drug use? That's violence against women. This is, you know, what's PETA going to say? No, nothing. Because it's cartoon people. Doesn't fucking count. So there you go. So I got that coming out. I know it's a long ways off, but I'm excited about it. So I'll be talking to you. We've recorded, you know, some episodes at this point. You know, we're about halfway done. And I've just been having the time of my life doing it. So that's what I've been doing. All right. And with that, let me read a little bit of advertising here. Let's pay for the fucking basements here. All right. Sorry, guys. The fucking throat. I know it's annoying. All right. DraftKings, everybody. Listeners are winning huge cash prizes every week at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site. One-week fantasy means no season-long commitments. Play whenever you want. Got an injured player? Not a problem at DraftKings, where it's like a new season every week, so you're never stuck with the same players. Rex Ryan ought to play this, huh? Poor bastard. Pick your team in minutes, and you could be on your way to winning instant cash. Last year, one player turned $11 into $4,000. Another one, $100,000, his first time ever playing. And another one, $1,000,000 in one day, just playing fantasy football. Hurry and get free entry into the $100,000 fantasy football contest this weekend, where first place takes home $10,000. Call to action. Head over to DraftKings now and enter the promo code DEFENSE to play for free. DraftKings.com. Bigger events, bigger winnings, bigger millionaires. Enter DEFENSE for free entry now. Now at DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com. That man right there. DraftKings.com. Dollar Shave Club, everybody. Guys, DollarShaveClub.com. I've been talking about them for years. They deliver great razors for a few bucks a month. If you're not a member, what's your holdup? What are you waiting for? What, do you like old ladies? You want to go down to the CVS and stand behind them? Huh? Smelling that creeping death? Or do you want fresh razors delivered to your door every week, once a month? Look, think they'll have a bunch of fees? Hit you with a bunch of fees if that's what's worrying you? Don't worry. DollarShaveClub.com has no fees. You just pay for razors, the razors that they ship you, and that's it. Get their four-blade razor and four replacement blades sent to your door each month for $6, including shipping. You don't want to get locked into a monthly commitment. We understand. DollarShaveClub.com doesn't have any contracts. It's all under the table, dude. And if you decide you don't want razors for a month or two, they won't send any, and you don't pay a dime. They're basically running their business the way they should be. Don't know if you'll like their products. I already told you their stuff is amazing. But if you don't agree, DollarShaveClub.com will refund your money. No questions asked. Stop with the excuses unless you're some idiot who likes wasting money. Go sign up at DollarShaveClub.com/Burr right now. I'm telling you, it's great. That's DollarShaveClub.com/Burr. Where was that when I was a child? Not a child. When I was first starting to shave. You know how much money I've fucking blown on razors? I don't even want to know. I don't even want to know. It's too scary. All right. All right, NFL football talk. So all the ladies, just, you know, walk away from the podcast at this point, all right? Go make some goddamn pumpkin pie. You know, go put on an apron and some horseshoes and walk around the kitchen like you used to when relationships worked, okay? Before you were bitch moaning and complaining at me during the football, both from the kitchen and on my television set. Oh, Jesus, Bill. Jesus. What's wrong with you? All right. Let's talk about Let's talk about my New England Patriots. Huh? How'd you like that, Chicago? Huh? That was for Super Bowl 20. I hate when people do that. When they think that you can get revenge for a playoff game. Playoffs? A playoff game during the regular season. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that was just a bad game for Chicago. I'm not saying they would have won the game, but come on. That was fucking ridiculous. The end, the final like 5 minutes of the second quarter, there should have been no announcers. They should have just been playing Benny Hill music anytime the fucking Bears had the ball. You know, we scored 21 points in like 4.5 minutes. I didn't even watch the second half. Put it that way. Put up a 50 spot on them. 5-0. And you know what? As much as I want to rub it in their face, who beat who in the Stanley Cup Finals? Who beat who in the Super Bowl? Exactly. There you go. There you go. So no Chicago fan should feel sad. There's not one Chicago fan out there that should feel sad. You guys have had a lot of success. You had Michael Jordan, right? 85 Bears. The Bears is a little rough, you know, but you got the Blackhawks are making up for it. And all you Cub fans, I don't have, you guys, you don't even care. You started caring when some fucking nerd wearing a Walkman touched a foul ball and y'all piled on him like the fucking pussies you are. Chicago Cub fans. What about the other six guys standing around who also reached up for the ball? What's the matter? Were they out of your weight class? You wanted that guy with his little hat pulled down over his head? You fucking punks. I don't have any sympathy for Chicago Cubs fans because they don't even give a fuck. They've only given a fuck for like the last 10 years. But other than that, it's just been take your shirt off and let's have a keg party. Nobody cares. They're almost like an honorary baseball team. Like, you know, just represent the fact that people like the game. You know, the White Sox fans, they care. They give a fuck. It's written all over their goddamn faces. You know, they still miss their old ballpark. They hate that new place. You see them coming in with their heads down going, look at this stupid ass fucking thing. You know, we had a classic fucking car and we traded it in on a Ford Taurus. What the fuck did we do? You know, so you can feel for those guys. They give a fuck. Chicago Cub fans do not give a shit. All right. So if you're a tourist, if you ever go to Chicago and you run into somebody, you know, and they got a passion for what they're doing, that's a White Sox fan. If you run into just some fucking jerk off, you know, sitting there wearing loafers with no socks, you know, and some silly fucking let's play two hat, that is a Cubs fan. And they are not to be respected. See what I did there, people? Not only did we just beat them, I just caused hopefully some arguments right now between people in Chicago. That right there was a terrorist act right here in the podcast. And you listened to it, and because you didn't do anything, because you didn't hit stop, you actually became a part of it. And now you're liable. What do you think about that? All right. I actually, you know, as well as the Patriots are playing, and they look great. How the fuck are we number one in pass defense? I had no idea. I've been watching every game. I would say, and we're like last in the run or some horseshit like that. So I actually think, this next week when we play the Broncos, you know, if we win decisively, then I'll actually believe in this team as far as their ability to possibly, you know, go deep into the playoffs and maybe make a run at this thing. But I got to be honest with you, who the fuck is good this year in the NFL? Who's like without a doubt fucking good? Like, look at the fucking Seahawks. I don't know what the hell happened to them. They've won like 4 games this year. I don't even know how many games we're into at this fucking point. What are you, 8 weeks in? Let me try to pull this shit up here. The standings. Like, I would have thought the Steelers were gonna lose. Who the fuck were they playing? I don't even remember. I'm the worst. Why do I do this shit? Where the fuck are the Seahawks? Seattle Seahawks are 4-3. You're telling me the Arizona Cardinals, 6-1, like as a Patriots fan, I got to sit there and think if we make it to the Super Bowl, holy shit, we might play the Cardinals. Look out for those Lions. I'm not even buying the Eagles.
I don't believe in their coach or their quarterback. I don't know that anybody's good. The Giants are 3-4. I don't know. Look at the Raiders. 0-7. Broncos are 6-1. I think they could actually, I don't know. I think we would have a tough time, obviously, with the Broncos. We'd have a tough time with the Colts. I don't get the Bengals. I don't get them. Everybody was talking about how they were fucking unbelievable, and then they came into Foxborough and got the living shit kicked out of them. It's Cincinnati. They're never going to win anything. You ever just look at a uniform and you're just like, you're done. You're never going to win a Super Bowl. The Cincinnati Bengals. It's fucking over. They look like they're... Remember that Broadway show, Cats? That's what they... If you put a helmets on those fucking dancers... To dream the impossible dream. You know, they could do that. Why am I being a dick? You know why? Because I gotta fucking blow through this podcast and I gotta go to work and I'm not in day job shape. I haven't had a day job since 1995 and I gotta get up every morning, pack a fucking lunch like a jerk off. I'm just fucking with you guys with all your teams. I actually feel really bad for the Raiders, man. 0-7. What the fuck? I watched a little bit of that game yesterday. How about that Browns defense, huh? Their offense sucks. One guy goes down on the O-line, and all of a sudden, everybody rolls over. The fucking pocket's collapsing. I love how they're going, yeah, you know, it was a major injury. Really? So then everybody sucks on the offensive line? I don't understand that. But their defense looked phenomenal. But granted, they were playing their Raiders. All right, let me bail out of this. I obviously don't know shit about football this year, despite the fact I've watched almost every week. Uh-oh, I see movement. Is that the lovely Nia? The lovely Nia! Da, da. Hey, what's... Oh, I just get the wave? She's coming in. Anyways, oh, you know what I did yesterday? Over the last 2 days, because it's Halloween. You know me, I get up for the holidays. I think it's very important to start traditions around the holidays. You know what I mean? It reminds you of your childhood. You create new memories, right? So I made 6 loaves of pumpkin bread. I've been handing them out to my friends like a fucking drug dealer, you know, because they're wrapped in foil. It just feels like you got a brick of weed, you know? Riding around in my fucking... I'm riding around in a Prius with one of those Save the Earth grocery bags, the cloth ones, filled with pumpkin bread, dropping it off to friends. Okay? If you can be any more effeminate and still be straight, if you can top that, I want to know what it is. That's your homework this week. I want you guys to send me in emails that you feel that there's something beyond driving a Prius with a cloth grocery bag filled up with pumpkin bread that you made, dropping it off to friends. And I want you to find something that's more effeminate than that as a straight guy. And don't just tag on to what I just said and add like skipping. You know what? I'm going to fucking just go hack up whatever the fuck is in my mind. Hang on a second. Hang on. Well, let me just hit pause here. All right, I'm back. Sorry about that. Jesus Christ, I should have done that 20 minutes ago. I can't imagine how many listeners I've lost. All right, what am I talking about? Oh, yeah, making the pumpkin bread. Dude, I got it down now. You make 6 loaves of pumpkin bread, you can do that shit in your sleep. I found this giant fucking whisk that we got as a wedding gift. You know, my wife registered it. You know, they always registered all that shit that you think, as a guy, you think is dumb. Like, why do we need all this, you know? Why don't we register at the flat screen TV store? We don't do that. You register at, like, Wicks and Sticks, you know? Get a bunch of fucking candles, you know? Glasses and plates and all of that shit. And then all of a sudden it arrives. And you're like, ah, Jesus Christ, we got to cut all this shit up. And then next thing you know, you got a stocked fucking kitchen. And you're looking at that big, dumb, stupid fucking whisk. Going, what? Look at the size. I want to make it. I'll fucking make some pancakes for the Green Giant. What do I need a whisk this big for? I'll tell you when you need it. When you're making 6 loaves of pumpkin bread, and you're standing on a fucking chair, just stirring that shit. I gotta admit, I fucking love bacon. It's like controlled, like playing in like a mud puddle. It's like you're being a little kid again. And I gotta tell you, it's delicious. And I ate a bunch of it. And I'm not liking the shape I'm in right now. I'm fucking Billy Fat again right now.
It's fucking driving me nuts. And I got to start working out again. And someone told me the other day, what are you talking about? You look good. You look good. It's like, no, I don't. No, I don't. I have a shirt on. Most people look good when you put clothes on them. You know, when you're hiding the mistakes. And that's basically how you stay in shape.
You know, every night before you go to bed, you take your shirt off and you look at it. You look at the damage that you created in the mirror. And you do every sort of bend you can possibly, bend to the side, bend to the other side, right? Stand to the side. You know, bend over at the waist and you just see that fucking spare tire. Just grab a whole fucking handful of it. Look at you, you fucking piece of shit. Huh? How about a little willpower? That first half was bullshit. We're going to get out there in the third quarter. You get fucking psych yourself up. You psych yourself up. It's all about the next goddamn day when you wake up in the morning. That's like you're coming out of the locker room at halftime. All right? And what are we going to do? Are we going to make some halftime adjustments? Or are we going to go right back to the Frosted Flakes? Huh? What are you going to do? You going to make some red velvet pancakes, you tub of shit? Huh? Or are you going to get some grape nuts and have a banana? You're going to make some oatmeal. That's what you need to do. You got to get the fucking oatmeal. What is that shit that I'm telling you, dude? I used to never believe that food is a drug. It's 100% a drug. And you got to fucking, when you start eating badly, you got to force yourself to just fucking eat a salad and it just fucking stops those cravings like dead in the track. It's a stiff arm right to the sugar salt bullshit, you know? Same thing with working out. I didn't work out for like at least like 10 days. And I kept sitting on the couch as I'm watching sports going, Bill, just fucking drop the floor and just give, you know, bang out 100 push-ups. And I'll do it tomorrow. I don't feel like it. You don't, because I've been eating like shit. I'm eating pumpkin bread. I got that shit in my body, and it's fucking eating away at my brain. And as the smart part of me is going, go on, Bill, get up. Go for a walk, you pasty tub of shit, right? The pumpkin bread's getting stronger. It's in there. This guy, don't listen to him. Sit on the couch. Come on, you earned it. You've been working hard, right? So yesterday, I finally got off the couch. And my body's screaming, no, I don't want to do it, I don't want to do it, I don't want to. And I just forced myself. And within 5, 6 of them, you know, you get that, you start getting that rush that you're working out. You know, you stand up after, banging out a set of 25, 35 or whatever, right? You get up and all of a sudden you feel good. You start strutting around, you know? First down, right? Like you just made a nice fucking catch on third down, saving the drive. You drop down, you do another 35. You start thinking, dude, I'm going to get fucking shredded. Huh? I'm going to wear that Mark Wahlberg fucking underwear walking around all shredded. Right? You start thinking shit like that. Just after 2 sets. But if you didn't override that fucking McDonald's in your brain and you just sat there, you know what you're going to do? You're going to add another fucking layer of fat. And you're going to go into the bathroom at night hanging your head when you brush your teeth. Because, you know, you don't want to look at it. Now you got a t-shirt on. You can see it coming through your fucking t-shirt. You can't hide that shit, right? That big pile of mush clinging to your fucking rib cage. Awful. Looking like a fucking, I don't know what. I get into a certain level of shape. I just feel like I should be tied to the wrists hanging from a tree and be used as a pinata. Oh, that's disgusting. I was just thinking that you fucking beat me and candy comes out of my ass because I've been eating so bad. I'm sorry. Whatever. What do you want from me? So now I'm back on the stick. So, you know, all I did was I did 100 push-ups, and I woke up today thinking about doing pull-ups. Had I not done that, I'd be fucking out there eating pumpkin bread. Now, I'm not going to lie to you. I'm going to eat another slice of it. Oh, and I'm putting butter on it. All right? But you just got to refuse to get past a certain point. You have to have a fucking line in the sand. A line in the butter where you're just like, I'm not going past this. I'm not going past this shit. So, you know, whatever. I'm talking about trying to stay in shape, which obviously now I can effortlessly segue into the Ebola panic. All right. I'm sitting there watching 60 Minutes. Okay. And I got all these famous people telling me that they're tired of me beating women. All these women that I'm not beating. All right.
I'm watching the World Series. I'm being reminded that people lose people to cancer every day, which is always nice. You know, when you're watching the national pastime, take me out to the ball game. Take me out to the crowd. I just lost my mother to throat cancer. Boo, hoo, 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 hoo. I mean, what the fuck are you doing? I don't want to see that during the fucking game. Can we just have like the cancer channel, or like the disease channel? You know, and every once in a while I'll fucking click over there and I'll write a, you know, send in $5 or whatever the fuck I got to do. Do you really have to interrupt it? Am I out of my mind that I think it's unbelievably fucking selfish to do that to people? What the fuck are they going to do next? You going to crash some little boy's birthday party? Happy birthday to... No more! No more! She fell face first into a birthday cake! Lady, he's 5 years old. Hey, just in case you haven't heard, everybody, it's not okay to hit a woman. Just in case you're a little confused, cocaine is bad for you. Just to let you know, when somebody dies of cancer, there's people that love them and they miss the person afterwards, and it's very painful. Just thought we would remind you that while you're trying to watch the Kansas City Royals and the San Francisco Giants. So then, you know, as if all of that shit. This is bread and circus time. This is mouth breather time. And you're coming in here bringing up the horrors of the world. Right? So I'm watching the 4 o'clock game. And all they keep doing on CBS is they keep hyping on 60 Minutes that they're going to be talking about 3 or 4 nurses. 3 of which are guys. Right? Which means the 3 ladies that were going to be nurses are now doctors. Which, as far as I can tell, is 3 out of 4 nurses are now men. And 3 out of 4 doctors are now women. And they're still bitching. All right? And don't even tell me my math is off on that. Because where the fuck were all the female nurses? They're nowhere to be found. Because they bitch, moaned, and complained to get themselves to hold the scalpel now. Now, what the fuck are we doing? We're walking around changing bedpans, and you're fucking coming on my football to tell me not to hit you? You want to take a bedpan right across your back like wrestling with the steel chair, taking all the doctor jobs. You women got a lot of nerve. Anyways, so what do? They start fucking hyping. They start hyping that they're going to talk to these 4 people that were near an Ebola patient who didn't catch Ebola and how fucking scared they are. You know what's funny? The people who actually caught Ebola, how many have even died? You know? You know what Ebola is? Ebola is the Cincinnati Bengals of diseases. They started fucking strong. Everybody thought they were a contender. Right? They knocked the ice bucket challenge right off the map. Everybody was talking about fucking ALS, ice bucket challenge, and in comes Ebola, right? Like if it was a nightclub. Ebola comes walking in a little hotter, shoes a little hoarier, right? And everybody starts looking over at that bitch walking into the fucking club. And then ALS is over there with the ice bucket going, wait a minute, I'm doing the wet t-shirt thing over here. You guys don't like this anymore? Sorry, ALS, there's a better looking whore on the pole. So now everybody's over here looking at this fucking Ebola shit. We're going to be fine, everybody. This is the deal. Let's just say a couple 100,000 people die of Ebola. All right? You know, we have like over 300 million people in this country. Okay? So the way I look at it, it's like you got a giant football team here. Ebola takes out 200,000 people. That's like when you make your final cuts in the preseason. Now we're a little more streamlined. All right? Who's kidding who, dude? If you get Ebola, you're weak. You're a weak person. Okay? You don't have the intestinal fortitude. You don't have the mental toughness. Okay? To fucking survive in a world of diseases. Okay, and when you get Ebola, why don't you have the fucking decency to not go to the fucking airport? All right? Just walk down the street, into the woods, and just bleed out by yourself like a gentleman. Why can't you do that? Is there a reason for that? That's my question.
I'm going to take callers here in 20 minutes.
how far into this am I? This fucking absolute horseshit. All right, what have I talked about? Oh, man, what's it? I've been watching a little bit of hockey. This is such a tough year to try and keep up with everything. I've been really watching the World Series, though. I missed most of game four, I think I did. I was watching something else. I forget what, but Jesus, Kansas City came back. They lost the first one. For those of you not watching, they came back. They won game two and three. They're up 2-1. Up 2-1, right? And then they go out to, you know, they won the first game in San Francisco. And then I was hoping that they were going to win either game four or five, and they didn't. They lost them both. It was like the Giants. I don't know if there's a way to make a halftime adjustment, but that's what it looks like the Giants did. I just think that they ran into some tough pitching, and so who knows? Who knows? But I don't have any sort of feeling on this series. Like, I don't feel like if KC wins game six that they're going to win game seven. I hope they do. I like the Royals. I also really like the Giants, too, so I'm not being a dick to people in San Francisco. It's just, you know, I just saw the Giants win 2010, 2012, and it was great to see that. But I'd like to, you know, like to see KC get one. However, if the Giants win, that's three World Series in the 2000s, and they would join the Boston Red Sox. We won 04, 07, and 2013. Because basically somebody is going to be the Yankees of this century. Someone's going to be the one who won the most fucking, you know, team of the century, basically. How many World Series, how many World Series do you think it's going to take to be the team of this century? Because now that you got 30 fucking teams, what's crazy is if Kansas City wins this year, the fact that it took them 29 years, they're actually, on average, mathematically, you know, you got a 1 in 30 chance of winning now. That they would be, that for them to win one in 29 years, they actually came in a year early. Is my math fucked up on that? I'm sure it is. I'm not the smartest guy out there, especially when it comes to the fucking arithmetic there. I'm actually thinking if you won 12, maybe? If you won 12, I would think that you'd get it at this point with 30 fucking teams. That's winning better than one a decade. So like right now, the Red Sox are ahead of the curve. I can't believe I even get to say that after all the shit they went through, is they've won three. So they're actually good through the 2020s. And I think we're going to get another one before then. I think the Yankees are, I don't know. I think they're all of those teams, the Celtics, the Yankees, the Canadians, all of those teams that won like fucking 9 zillion titles when there was like fucking 15 teams in the league or 10 teams in the league. You know, that's over. Like back in the day when the Yankees used to win titles, do you know when you won your division, that was winning the pennant. They had so few teams that there wasn't another division you had to play. Forget about two rounds of fucking baseball. Best 4 out of 7 to get to the final thing. Now, I'm not, you know, fucking with the Yankees' legacy because it's the most legit thing there is, considering Babe Ruth, Lou Gehrig, Joe DiMaggio, and Mickey Mantle. No one's ever going to have a fucking run of players like that again. You're lucky if you go back-to-back with two unbelievable players. Forget about 4 in a row. But nobody's going to win at a clip like that again. Like, I don't see anybody ever catching the Yankees. Like, how bad the Yankees would have to nosedive. And they're spending, like, you know, $200 million a year. I think they've lowered their yearly average at this point. But generally speaking, they spend roughly $200 million a year. If you do that year after year after year, you know, you're going to win a couple here, a couple there, and you're going to stay out front. Because I think the closest that is to them is, I think, the Cardinals. And they got, like, 11. 10 or 11, I can't remember what. And that puts them, like, a good 16 behind. It's over. No one's going to catch them. No one's going to catch the Canadians. Both of them are just too out and far in front. But then with basketball, like, I think the Lakers are going to overtake the Celtics just because of people would rather play in L.A. Like, Boston and L.A. are equally racist. And a lot of people don't think that just because for some reason we get all the attention, you know, despite the fact that they have fucking riots out here and their police are constantly fucking murdering people. I would say, yeah. So then it just comes down to better weather and celebrity pussy. I mean, right there. And, you know, yeah, it's basically, what do you want to do? You want to play in the racist town with the bad weather and the potato faces? Or do you want to come out here with the plastic surgery ass and the great weather with the racism? I mean, it's a no fucking brainer. They're going to come out here. So I don't know, unless we go on some sort of a fucking run. That's the only real race that there is. And for those of you who don't keep up on it, the Celtics have 17 and the Lakers have 15 plus a BAA championship that they have to count as an NBA championship for some fucking reason. I don't understand that. I don't understand how. I've said it before. I don't understand how the fuck you can win an NBA championship before the NBA exists. It's unbelievable. But, you know, it's L.A. That's what you do. I'm a director. I got 16 championships. All right. Let's read a little bit of advertising here. Oh, by the way, if let me get this out of the way here. If you would like to buy my stand-up comedy album and you do not live in the continental United States, my record is available for international orders at thirdmanrecords.com. Thirdmanrecords.com. THIRD. Manrecords.com. You can order it there. And reminders for listeners of the podcast, the email to ask me questions is bill@themmpodcast.com. bill@themmpodcast.com. All right. Let's get into some questions here for the week. All right. Shaving in the steam room. All right, what do we got here? Bill, you like steams. After my workout, I like to take a steam. What I find is people coming in and shaving in the steam room. What the fuck? Dude, people are just, they're fucking animals, man. Fucking animals. There's a sign outside, no shaving, but it must be for someone else. You're a quick-witted guy. What backhanded response can I give these assholes when they come in and start shaving? Am I the most negative guy ever that I took you're a quick-witted guy as an insult? Hey, Bill, you're a quick-witted guy. Why don't you write me a fucking comeback? What am I, on the writing staff of your life here, sir? What would you say? I would sit there in the steam and be like, buddy, there's no shaving in here. That's disgusting. We all have to use it. What's wrong with you, you fucking animal? Oh, look who's here. Look who's here, everybody. It's the lovely Nia. Making appearance for the first time in a while. People thought you'd dump me. Get over here. I only have one microphone. Don't touch the fucking mixer. What are you doing? Oh, Jesus.
I'm in the other room listening to you screaming like a moron about God knows what. What are you yelling about? Again?
Nia, this podcast is... It's an important thing. I got to bring the energy. I got to bring the laughs.
I know. It's literally Monday morning and you're like, I'll have bread and butter on it. You're fucking screaming about pumpkin bread. It's 9 a.m. What is the matter with you? Seriously.
I don't know.
And someone calls, asks you for a nice quip or something to say to somebody and you get an attitude about it. What's the matter with you?
I don't know. Look how it's written. Tell me I'm wrong there.
Somebody was shaving in the steam room.
How gross is that?
That's disgusting.
Absolutely fucking disgusting. They should literally just put a collar around that guy and stick him in a fucking cage. Take him down to the pound.
Yeah, I mean, he can either just go straight up to him like you said. Hey, buddy, there's no shaving in here. That sounds like exactly what we would say. You would definitely say, hey, buddy, in that really fucking tense way.
No, I would.
Or you could place and get them banned or something.
You know what? You stand up.
We're getting reports that you're shaving in the steam room. And sir, well, you've been warned several times about this. We're going to have to ask you to leave. Can I have your locker room key, please?
No, the guy initially denies it. Oh, I wasn't shaving in there. And then the guy like gently reaches out and touches the side of his face. Come on.
We both know.
There's no way your face is going to be that smooth unless you're shaving.
You know what the guy should do is just stand up and start peeing on his leg. No, this is what you do. You say,
what?
Yeah, no, you say, sir, there's no shaving in here. And if he has an attitude, then you pee on his leg. And then you both get kicked out. And it's just, then you make the news. Go, go, go. Like that TMZ. A man was shaving. This isn't going to make the show. Let me get a tighter shirt. This man was shaving in the stateroom with this other guy. He gets somebody pees on his leg. No way. No way. That didn't happen. That's my TMZ impression. I hate that you watch that stupid fucking show with all those goddamn geeks standing around.
I don't watch it on a regular basis, but I do. I watch it from time to time to get caught up on the celebrity tea.
I have never seen, however long, it seems like it's an hour long of nothing.
Yeah.
Just watching people coming out of restaurants. Mm-hmm. You know? Hey, Sean Penn, what do you think about Ebola? And he's just like, what? I just had some muscles. Oh, Cleo. Oh,
Cleo wants to be on the podcast, too.
All right, yes. All right. It was going off the rails. It's going off the rails here. The original cock block. Anytime we hug, the dog comes over like, I want to be a part of it.
Go lie down, mommy. Go lie down.
Get over there, stupid.
Don't call the dog stupid.
Oh, that dog. I fucking love that dog. You don't even understand, all right?
I don't understand.
Yeah, you don't understand.
I think I do understand. The way you throw yourself on top of her and go, oh, Cleo, or as loud as possible.
It's one of my favorite things to do.
You can't stop doing it.
I know.
You do it constantly throughout the day. You do it like 10 times a day. I'm not exaggerating.
I'm not going to defend myself. How do you not go over and hug your dog? That's what I do. I always go, all right. She sees me coming over. She lays down her side. And I just grab her and I squeeze her and I scream, oh, Cleo!
Yeah, you get her all in a fucking state.
You know, and who takes her for a hike every fucking day?
You
me.
Do. Yeah, you do. But you also, like, literally, you walk into the room and she's, like, up on her feet and she's like, ha, like you. You're giving the dog your energy, your manic energy. That's true.
I know. I'm a fucking psycho. What do you want from me? But you know what? I don't shave in the steam room. So what would I say to this guy? I would say, I'd be like, buddy, there's no shaving in here. That's fucking gross.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
Yeah, what's wrong with you? Little stupid whiskers are going to be there on the floor. You fucking animal. Dude, I swear to God. The fucking animals that go into steam rooms. Fucking animals. Fucking guy like cleaning his toenails or his dead skin off of his feet, just sitting there scrubbing it.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. You know something? I only think that's 10% of people that go into steam rooms. I think the rest of us, we need to speak up. We're just sitting there silently and they're not saying anything. What the fuck is wrong with you, dude? That's gross. Mm-hmm. Sitting there yelling at somebody. You both got your dicks out. Ah, I'll try another thing. Things flapping around. All right. Remaining positive. Hey there, Billy boy. I'm a 23-year-old recent college graduate who's dealing with a bit of depression. Having never dated, finding it hard. Did I write this? Having never dated... Finding it hard to get a job and having no actual goal in life, I'm finding it hard to keep motivated to do anything. I normally eat well and go to the gym, but that's the only healthy habit I have. I want to be enjoying my 20s, but because I've accomplished nothing, not even having formed any relationship with any girl, it's been hard to smile and remain positive. Do you get into these sorts of funks, and what advice would you have to get out of it? Any advice from you or the lovely Nia would honestly make a major impact on my life. No pressure. Yeah, buddy. Jesus. Yeah, I literally could have written that at 23 years old. I was basically in the, essentially the same boat. I was still living at home, had no girlfriend. I commuted all the way through college. I didn't have any college friends, never went to any of those parties or any of that type of shit. And I was actually flailing, wondering what the fuck I was going to do with my life. I tried sales. I worked in warehousing. I had a job at a dental office, and none of it was making me excited about going to work. And I started thinking like, oh, fuck, am I going to be that guy? That guy that just does a fucking job that he hates. And I don't know. I just started every day, I don't know, just trying to think what I wanted. What did I want? And don't look at it with judgment. Or think that something's impossible. Like, whatever you want to do,
to be sitting there thinking like, oh, I can't do that. I could never do it. You can't. You can. I am an absolute moron, and if I can make something happen, you definitely can. I would say that. I don't like how you laugh when I said I'm a moron.
You are a moron, but I think you just gave really, really perfect advice. That's great advice. You got to figure out, yeah, what is it that you really, really enjoy doing? And maybe there's a way to actually make a living at it, like Bill.
Yeah, this is what you just start doing it. You just start fucking doing it, and then eventually it turns into your job. And all you do is just, I think what most people do is like, say they're thinking like, I don't know, pick a job that's fucking, you're like, oh, I can never do that. I'll just keep it in entertainment. Say you wanted to get into like broadcasting, I guess, announcing games, and you start thinking like, oh my God, I want to announce NFL games. How the fuck do I get there? So you start, you know, I would think you'd start doing high school games, Little League games. I would do anything. I would just, if no one was hiring me, I would just show up at Little League games with a fucking sport coat on and set up a table, and I would just start doing it. I would go down to pick up basketball games.
That's not creepy at all.
And I would just start doing it.
Just showing up at the little kid's game like, here I am.
I know, because there's pedophiles. There's always been pedophiles. What am I? And here I am. I'm going to what? Start molesting a kid as everyone's sitting there? I would just start doing the game like it was a Major League Baseball game. The parents would love it. You could go down to like the basketball courts. I would just anything just to be doing it. That's like your open mics. I'm not getting paid. I'm learning how to do this shit. And then, I don't know, start taking some classes at a broadcasting school. You just, every part of your day becomes announcing. You know?
Right.
When I had day jobs, I used to sit there doing the job, and I would be, any funny fucking idea I had, I would just write it down, and then I would go try it out somewhere, and I just kept doing it, and doing it, and doing it, and you just start marching towards it, and you don't look at like, well, hey, I'm doing high school games, I'll never get to the NFL. Like, most people don't get there because they want it in a week. Dude, that fucking helicopters are going to fly into the fucking house around here. They're crazy. I don't know if you guys could just hear that shit. Every single day, I don't know. Look at this stupid-ass podcast. I just kept doing it every Monday, and all of a sudden, you know, I got a bunch of listeners.
I'm curious about, because I'm trying to, you know, I'm always trying to, like, read between the lines. And he goes, I normally eat well and go to the gym, but that's the only quote unquote healthy habit I have. What does that mean?
Well, I don't want to start.
I'm just curious as why that got thrown in there, because I don't know if that means that there's things that he's doing that he is not healthy, because the rest of it doesn't really, I don't know. I normally eat well and go to the gym. That's the only healthy habit I have. It's the only habit I have. It's just like working out and going to the gym, but I don't have any other like things. But, like, just the healthy in quotes is concerns me a little bit.
Well, I think he's really hard on himself.
Oh.
So he's got to lighten up on himself. So even when he's doing something, even when he's doing something positive, he still puts it in quotes. He won't give himself credit for that. Oh. It sounds like maybe he had some negative parents who told you the world was a lot more difficult than it is. I would, I'd also work on, like, just paying attention to the thoughts in your head. That's how, because I was never clinically depressed, but I had definitely bouts of depression and funks and that type of thing. I felt like shit yesterday when I was watching the game, and I did 100 push-ups in, you know, 3 sets.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I'm not going to actually drop down. I would have had a heart attack.
100 in a row.
No. I did set of 3, and I got to 100. 105, actually. Sets of 35, all right, you fucks. no, but I immediately felt better.
Right.
I immediately felt better, so.
And also, you're 23 years old. You have a long, long time to figure out what it is that you want to do for the rest of your life. You know what I mean? And it's probably going to change several times. So maybe you just graduated college and you're like, oh, I majored in business. I don't want to get into business. I really want to, yeah, be a veterinarian or something like that. And I think that Bill's right. You should really.
Then I would immediately start picking up roadkill off of the side of the road, and I'd try to see if I could bring it back to life.
Try reviving it. Try reviving that dead cat on the freeway.
No. You're fine. You're 23. You got your whole life ahead of you. You know what could be worse, dude? You could be in a relationship and you fucking knocked her up, and now you're tied to her for the rest of your fucking life.
And then you got to go get a job at some place you don't want to work at. So the fact that you don't have anything going on in your life is fucking awesome. There's nothing holding you back. You can just now you actually get to decide. You know how many people would want to be in your fucking position? 23, no girlfriend, you know, no fucking mortgage, no bullshit, none of that stuff. It's just you. Dude, fucking, you know, figure out what you want to do and go after it. And tell that negative thought you had to go fuck yourself. There you go. That was like a Dr. Phil episode. There you go. That solves all your problems. When we come back, I yell at more men.
You work at just work on yourself. The rest will come together. Don't worry about the girl part yet. Just get your own shit together.
I already said that.
Why did you feel like you keep trying
to
say?
I'm reaffirming
what you said. You keep trying to say, like, you keep trying to be the person who says the last thing. This is my podcast.
So then
I wrap it up.
Am I here?
I wrap it up.
You wanted me to come in here. You wanted me to come in here.
I did.
So stop giving me shit. Read the next question.
All right. Artificial intelligence.
Also known as Bill Burr.
Oh, Jesus. Artificial intelligence. And it's, if as long as there's intelligence in there, I'll take it. And its impact on humanity. Dear Bill Boo Baggins, what are your thoughts on Tesla founder Elon Musk's warnings on artificial intelligence? I just love the fact that you think that I actually read it. He said that through recursive self-improvement, simple tasks like preventing spam could lead to an AI determining humans are the problem. Is this like a sci-fi script?
I know. Okay, yeah, I get it.
I'm totally interested, but I don't know what's going on here. Recursive self-improvement means it could reason with itself. Oh, this is like when you make a computer that like has emotions like a human being.
Well, no, it's like he's talking about, we're trying to get rid of spam and email and stuff. But whatever program is like, wait, there's a human being behind the spam. There's a human being behind the Nigerian prince scheme, or the, oh my God, friend, I'm trapped in Denmark and I've had my passport and all my money like taken from me. And
I don't think that is. I think he's talking AI. Look, simple tasks like preventing spam could lead to AI. Artificial intelligence is a computer.
Yeah.
It's a robot.
Determining humans are the problem.
Yeah.
Right? Okay.
So how is there a guy in Nigeria? Recursive self-improvement.
It's saying, like, it's realizing that human beings are behind the spam in your email. Like, there's someone.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay. Sorry about that.
It's going to be a long one. Keep going.
Recursive self-improvement means it could reason with itself and incrementally improve to overcome obstacles that prevent it from fulfilling its objectives. I listened to previous podcasts, and you've mentioned you think there would be a backdoor built into any AI machine robots by the powers that be. However, using the recursive self-improvement that Elon mentioned, an AI could eventually reason with itself that a backdoor preventing it from fulfilling its mandate must be ignored or overcome. Elon Musk is very intelligent, having founded PayPal, SpaceX, and Tesla, as well as playing a key role in Solar City. So I don't think his concern should be taken lightly. Here's a book that delves into the subject in more detail, because I know you're a deep thinker. See what I'm saying? They're all giving me shit.
Oh, that's funny.
Our final invention, artificial intelligence and the end of the human era. Thanks for your fucking opinion.
Is this some like sort of like 1984 type shit? Like, you know,
no, 1984 was humans on humans.
Oh, okay. We'll see. They're just,
that's already going on. That's already going on, where someone who was our ally yesterday is now the enemy. And then the enemy is now the ally, and vice versa and all that type of shit.
So this is basically like the machines are getting so smart that they're going to eventually like take over.
Yeah. Here's the thing about machines, Nia. They don't have legs.
The robots might. Maybe that's his whole point, like the robots.
The robots I'm afraid of, but just like a computer.
Right.
It's like you don't have legs and you have an umbilical cord plugged into that fucking wall over there, and I will snip that fucker and I will dump water on you, and that's the end of you.
Dump water on you.
Yeah. Go dump water on your computer, see what happens.
But aren't they talking about making robots that'll be able to like surpass all of that shit? And that's the scary part about it. It's like you don't want to give them too much intelligence, because like he was saying, they'll learn that like, hey, wait, I've got this whole backdoor thing, and fuck that backdoor.
Yeah, well,
because they're going to evolve beyond that.
Here's the thing.
What people don't understand.
Like in Her. Did you ever see that movie Her with Joaquin Phoenix?
There was too much red. It was just too much red.
He was the only one really that wore red. But anyway, go on.
Anyways, this is what I feel. People are acting like this, just some nerdy scientist. I'm going to make this artificial intelligence bullshit. It isn't. It's rich people. And rich people at the top want to phase out us. They're sick of us. Like we are an inconvenience to them with our complaints and our needs. They want us to shut the fuck up. They want us to all to be making fucking slippers for them for fucking 50 cents a month. They want to have all the cars. They want, like, it's like when I went to the farmer's market yesterday, right? Mm-hmm. To add to my effeminate weekend of pumpkin bread and driving a Prius.
Speaking of which, you need to store your strawberries more correctly because they're just sitting out on the counter and they're going to go bad.
You know why? You know why I left them out there?
Why? Because why did you leave your strawberries out on the counter?
Because they're not organic. I went to a farmer's market and they actually just have regular, you have to ask them, is this organic? And they'll be like, well, you know, our farmers, blah, 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 blah. They can't even handle 200 people. The grocery stores can't handle 200 fucking people walking into a parking lot to buy some goddamn eggs. They even have to get that money. Like they want it all. The people so at the top.
So can I have those strawberries if you're not going to eat them?
See, did you hear that back and forth? This is why we deserve to get fucking taken over. Right here. Because you can't keep people on. You just give a fuck about the strawberries. I'm talking about the overall picture, man.
I don't care if the strawberries are organic or not. That's not my cause right now. I like strawberries. So.
Well, I'm trying to stay on topic with this.
I'm sorry,
thing.
Yes. Let's stay on. So
can you come near the mic, please?
So basically, what is this person asking you?
So he's asking me if I'm worried about artificial intelligence. I actually think that there's human beings behind it. And it's going to play out like the classic, like Frankenstein, where you build it and then it comes back and kicks the shit out of you. But like, I think, you know, a lot of people are looking at us like human beings as a collective. What are we doing? We aren't doing anything. You're expendable. I'm expendable. We're an annoyance to them. What the reason why we're still here is because we pay taxes. We pay interest. They got their foot on the back of our fucking neck. And we're helping to buy like some more fucking gold coins for them every single month. But the big flaw with human beings is that we complain and we pay attention and we go, hey, that isn't fair. And I think super rich people are sick of it. And it'd be great. Wouldn't it be great if we could somehow get them to just work, not bitch, and not have to pay them at all? What is the solution? Let's make some fucking robots. Yeah, but then, you know, the robots would be great, but then who are we going to fucking pull over to the side of the road and have them suck our dicks in the back of our limos? Well, we got to make them more lifelike. So they're going to try to make these lifelike robots that will do whatever the fuck they want and suck their dicks and work out in the fields and all that fucking shit. But then eventually they're going to get overrun.
So you are concerned about artificial intelligence then?
No, I'm not concerned about it because there's nothing to stop it. I just was talking to you about it, and your main focus is the strawberries. Right there, that little microcosm of that fucking conversation is why I tapped out a conspiracy theory. I will not talk. I'll do it on this podcast because I don't have to listen to somebody else either saying, that's fucking bullshit or this or that or that or here's my even crazier theory because I'm nuts. Everybody's fucking nuts. The thing I believe, everything has a beginning, a middle, and an end. And human beings are no different. And, you know, whatever. I'm going to die anyway. So what the fuck do I care?
You were talking about rich people being annoyed by non-rich people. I was just reading something online that was talking about a Dear Prudence, you know, like an advice column over the weekend or something. And there was a rich person that was saying, you know, I live in a very wealthy community. And, you know, there are billionaires and stuff around us. For the most part, like the street where I live is just doctors and lawyers and things. Anyway, we just noticed that every Halloween, there are all these people from the poorer neighborhoods that come in and like, you know, trick or treat and ask for candy. And I just really feel like we're already doing so much, you know, and paying so many taxes for this, that, and the other. Like, does Halloween now have to become a social service? And basically the advice giver was like, wow, like you are an asshole. Like it's Halloween. It's kids and candy. Like, are you really trying to make a bigger statement about society over Halloween?
Wait a minute. You canceled Halloween at our house.
Not because of any sort of, like, class issue. I canceled Halloween because people were coming over here acting like fucking morons. I don't want 40-year-old people just standing there dead-eyed looking at me like, what's up with the candy? Or high school kids who don't
Isn't that what this guy's saying, in a way? Don't
have the decency. All right, well, then just take the age of the people out of it. High school kids who don't even have the decency to come in a fucking costume, who don't even have the decency to say trick or treat. They stand there staring at you.
You would get an applause break in this guy's gated community right now. Yeah, yeah.
But it's like, come in a costume.
I usually don't like women of color, but this one makes sense.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, don't come in here and be like fucking weird about it. I don't care if whoever, any kid that comes into the neighborhood from wherever they are. Halloween is awesome in that way because it's cute, fun kids. They're excited about going out. They're with their parents. Their parents are like, say thank you. Say, like, it's a lovely thing.
You give out candy to 8 o'clock at night and then you turn the light out.
Exactly. That's the thing. I just, the kids that come with no costumes, and it's like I'm afraid they're gonna egg the house, so I feel like I have to give them candy. Like, it's bullshit. It's annoying. I just want people to reciprocate the spirit of Halloween. Okay, it's
can not
just
question?
Me handing out candy. Can I need you, a little something from you too.
Can you imagine you're so broke that you look forward to Halloween so you can fucking walk up and try to get a candy bar from another adult? Do you realize how fucking demoralizing that is?
No,
I mean, I'm saying this, but we're getting off track.
But
there's also freeloaders out there too. But this is the thing. This is the thing, Nene, is what that guy is saying is how a lot of rich people view people who aren't rich. We should be privileged that we're in their presence. Yeah, like that type of guy. That type of guy. Do you think that that type of guy would give a shit if the rest of the world got phased out and was replaced by robots that would work for him, would never go on strike, and were so lifelike that he could fuck them and it would feel like he was with the person? I mean, that's their idea of utopia because they're fucking sociopaths. Not all of them, but generally speaking, they're sociopaths.
Is that the beginning of most sci-fi novels? And it's like the convenience of it, and it's great. And then the robots eventually take over.
Yeah.
Because they're smarter than us, and they've somehow been able to continue to evolve beyond our programming.
Right.
Which is kind of like what Her was about a little bit.
And then, and then basically what happens is then they forget that, like, they don't know how to... Well, actually, a sci-fi movie, what would happen was there'd be a few humans that they allow to live, and then we work for them. It's basically the Planet of the Apes fucking template over and over and over again. And then,
okay.
And then we come back and either Mark Wahlberg or Morris Chestnut or one of those fucking guys.
Morris Chestnut, please.
Would be, is that really his name?
Yes, it is.
That sounds like the name of a cat.
Morris Chestnut?
Yeah, it does. Like somebody who like lives with cats and not people and then all of a sudden just like... And gives him, like, real names.
Morris Chestnut.
That over there, that's Morris Chestnut.
Strapping, hunking, chocolate piece of gorgeousness that's in movies.
You've never said that about me. All right. Advice. Okay.
Nope. I sound like Aisha on I sound like Aisha on Archer. Nope.
All right. Advice. Hey, Bill. Fellow redhead here in need of some advice.
No Jesus. Another freckle face here.
I'm 21 years old, and after 2 years of college, I decided to drop out because I simply didn't see a future that would make me happy. Smart move. You need to regroup. Figure out what you want. I know I may have burned a bridge here and made an irrational decision, but I really couldn't take any more of it since I felt like I was wasting my time and effort and my dad's hard-earned money since he paid for the tuition. My parents aren't exactly ecstatic, but they are not furious either. I have a job and all that stuff, and I've been playing guitar for nearly 4 years now, so I'm not bad, but not nearly as good as I want to be, considering I like metal and crap like that. I'd really appreciate some advice on whether or not I made a terrible decision, because part of me said I did, and another said I didn't. Should I simply be more open-minded about my future, or should I pursue my dream of being a musician, even though that's extremely far off, I think he meant to say, far off and unrealistic. Deep down, I feel like I'll figure something out because I always have in the past when something big comes up and whatnot. Thanks in advance. Really like your work and your podcast. You cheer me up with your jokes when life gets me down. All right. Yeah, dude.
Why don't you go to music school? You're 21. You dropped out of college maybe because it just wasn't, they didn't offer the kind of curriculum you were into. So you said, hang on a second, I've been playing guitar for nearly 4 years now, so I'm not bad, but nearly as good as I want to be, considering I like metal and crap like that. Why don't we sort of take this back to the first advice that you gave? Why don't you find
Don't tell me what to do.
Why don't you, shut up.
You look gorgeous this morning, by the way.
Thank you.
See how you do that, people?
Oh, shut up.
Anyways. I meant it.
Go to, why doesn't he go to music school?
Here's the deal.
Enroll in a music program so you can get better. play guitar, keep playing guitar every second. It's like the first advice you can give, play guitar.
Well,
here's
the big thing in this email. Is that your heavy
That's
metal?
That's my impression of metal.
this is why school is so fucked up. This guy is literally ignoring his heart, staying in school because he's following the fucking herd. This guy wants to play guitar. Dude, let me ask you this. How happy are you when you're playing guitar? When you're doing other activities, are you thinking, I wish I was playing guitar? That's what you're supposed to be doing. On whatever level. And if you think you're not good enough, like, you've been playing guitar for 4 years. You can be a rhythm guitarist in a band. How cool is Malcolm Young? He wrote all those fucking riffs for AC/DC. The poor guy's got them sick now, man. It sucks. But anyways, like, that's what you do. Join a fucking band. Just join a band. Go down to the music store. They always have those fucking things. We're looking for a rhythm guitarist, Myers. Looking for this. Yeah, those little fly. Just do that. And just make your whole life about music. Give guitar lessons. Just your whole fucking life becomes music. And then eventually you're going to be in the music world. You might end up, who knows, being a producer for albums. You might end up being in a band that makes it. You might end up managing. But you're going to be in the music business. You're going to be around music, which is what you love. Okay? I think there's a reason that you did it. I think the reason why you're thinking, oh, maybe I shouldn't have done that, is because 99% of your friends are all, you know, well, if I got 2 more years of college and I majored in this and then I'm going to go out in the job world, I'm going to get married, have 2.5 kids, blah, blah, which is fucking fine if that's what you want to do. But you do not want to do this. You want to play guitar. So you made a great decision. Congratulations. And the balls that took to fucking walk away from college, I didn't have the balls to do that. I felt like I had to finish. I got to get a degree. And I should have just went right down to a comedy club. I knew from the time I was 14 years old that I wanted to be a stand-up comic. And it took me until I was 24 to finally get the balls up to do it. So you're way ahead of the game. You're going to be fine. All right? And I got to go to work here. So that's going to be it here for the podcast. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you to the lovely Nia for dropping in.
You're welcome. The next time I'm coming, come on here, though, we need to talk about some of the stuff I heard you screaming about earlier.
About what?
Something about women and something ignorant that you say, which is, I guess,
it's a fucking
part of
joke.
The course.
What did I say?
I don't know.
They should have a bedpan smashed across
their
back. Yeah, you think that's a wrestling reference.
Were you talking about Ebola or something like that, too?
I don't know what it was. Something like that. Something along those lines.
Something,
oh, speaking of that.
Ignorant.
I got to read some advertising.
I thought you did that. I thought I heard you doing that earlier.
Well, I got one more left. Hulu Plus, everybody. You've probably tried Hulu on your computer. Hulu Plus is so much more. With Hulu Plus, you can watch your shows on your schedule. Hulu Plus has all of your favorite shows like Cosmos, A Space Odyssey, Bob's Burgers, or Undateable starring Chris D'Elia. The Beast. I went on tour with him this year. If he's on it, it's going to be hilarious. And watch every episode of shows like South Park, The Cosby Show, or Doctor Who. Hulu Plus works on your computer, your smartphone, your smart TV, Roku, Apple TV, Xbox, pretty much any streaming device you already own. You should be blocking off a day just to binge. That's a little extreme. With Hulu Plus, you're in total control. Stream in, these and thousands more as much as you want, whenever you want. Also, get exclusive access to stream the Criterion Collection movies. And Hulu Plus has all of them. All movies and kid shows are ad-free, too. For only $7.99 a month, get your shows anytime, anywhere. But right now, I'm offering my listeners a 2-week free trial when you go to HuluPlus.com/Bill. That's a whole extra week for free. Please make sure you use HuluPlus.com/Bill so you get an extended free trial and so they know that we sent you. It helps us keep the lights on and gives you a better deal. One more time for that extended free trial, HuluPlus.com/Bill. That's it. And look at Cleo over there. You think I'm not going to go hug her?
Oh, Cleo!
All right, that's it. I'll talk to you next week. Go fuck yourselves.